970 KMZQ Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. Vice President Mike Pence visited Florida on Monday to hold a roundtable with University of Miami researchers to speak about the final stage testing of the experimental COVID-19 vaccine. Mr. Pence says the goal is to make sure every American gets the vaccine.
Our first objective is to have a vaccine that works, to have tens of millions of doses available, and then administer it to the American people.
At a press briefing today in North Carolina, President Trump says they're moving fast on developing a vaccine.
Not only is Operation Warp Speed accelerating the development of a vaccine, we're also directing a colossal industrial mobilization to ensure its rapid delivery. Nothing's happened like this since the end of World War II.
Correspondent Julie Walker reports the White House has been pushing ahead towards a planned rollout of a $1 trillion effort from Senate Republicans. But House Speaker Nancy Pelosi assailed the GOP disarray as time-wasting during the crisis.
The long-delayed legislation comes amid alarming new cases in the virus. It was originally supposed to be released Thursday morning by Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, but instead he hosted an unscheduled meeting with Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin and White House Acting Chief of Staff Mark Meadows and delayed the planned release of the proposal until this afternoon.
Bipartisan leaders praised Congressman John Lewis as a moral force for the nation on Monday in a Capitol Rotunda memorial service rich with symbolism and punctuated by the booming recorded voice of the late civil rights icon. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi called Lewis the conscience of the Congress, who is revered and beloved on both sides of the aisle, on both sides of the Capitol. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell praised the longtime Georgia congressman as a model of courage and a peacemaker. On Wall Street, the Dow by 114 points. More at townhall.com.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For a free quote, call 800-523-3771. That's 800-523-3771. 800-523-3771. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Can Clark County count you in? The Department of Family Services is in need of supportive foster parents to provide temporary care and stability for our children. That's why they made it easier for you to learn more about fostering with their virtual foster care information sessions. Take the first step in your foster care journey from the comfort of your own home. Visit countmein.vegas for more information or to sign up. That's countmein.vegas. This sponsorship is in cooperation with the DCFS and Adoption Incentive Funding.
You've been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. You have to carefully monitor your health for the rest of your life. And you have an increased risk of developing cardiovascular disease.
Cut. Take two. Action.
You've been diagnosed with a new purpose. To fight for the amazing life you've made for yourself. To look that risk of heart disease square in the face and say, no, not me. You've been given a new opportunity to live. Get started at nodiabetesbyheart.org.
It's 4:04. This is a KMZQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. Nevada Governor Steve Sisolak will hold a press conference today at 5 p.m. to update the status of the state's COVID-19 response efforts. Now, we here at KMZQ are going to be airing that speech live 1 hour from now, beginning at 5 p.m. Expect some lane closures on the 15 due to some work for the planned Virgin Trains USA high-speed rail project. Now through Friday, Interstate 15 southbound between Warm Springs and the Union Pacific Railroad crossing, that's in the Ivanpah Valley, will have the shoulder and the right lane shut down between 9 at night and 5 o'clock in the morning. Now the closures are for surveying work connected to the Virgin Trains rail project which will link Las Vegas with Victorville, California. Now, while they struggle trying to get benefits paid to those who qualify, state unemployment officials say more than 185,000 fraudulent claims have been filed. That slows down the payment process. Officials say unemployment fraud investigations normally make up about 10% of its workload, but these are not normal times. Earlier this month, the U.S. Secret Service formed Cybercrimes Task Force, including Las Vegas.
KCQ On-Time Traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Come in right now for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95, along with a free AC inspection.
Big picture, not bad right now. No restrictions through the Spaghetti Bowl on the 95 West or the 515 East. Moderate flows on the 15 as you work your way through the resort area between Sunset and Sahara, and heavy volumes, that's 215 westbound at Green Valley.
Gather around!
Washington, D.C., I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil, a lot of bad people. A lot of bad people, a lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media.
That's enough.
NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out.
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two! Time is running out! Number three! Time is running out! Number four!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
And this hour brought to you by attorney Craig Mueller of Mueller & Associates. When you need an attorney, you need someone who shares your conservative values. Call Craig Mueller. He's my buddy. He's my pal at Mueller & Associates, 702-887-1731. That's 702-887-1731. Scott, let me just ask you, the governor's going to speak in an hour from now. What do you expect from the governor? Is this just a hi, how you doing, or is this going to is he going to dial us back to phase zero?
Hi, Kevin. This is Senator Hammond. I wish I could tell you what he's going to say. I have not. We've done this several times on the show. Have you heard from the governor? Have you not heard from the governor? What have you heard? That one time that I didn't speak to him, I haven't spoke to him again, even during the special session. It wasn't easy to get a hold of him. I don't think that many people are going to be able to tell you what he's expecting. I don't think, personally, that we're talking about going back to phase one. I think it's more of a, this is what's going on. These are the cases that's going on. He's probably just going to give us an update. You might even hear him slip in a, hey, we're going to have a special session. He might be calling a special session. Just in case anybody didn't know, but we've been told it's going to be Thursday. We haven't seen a proclamation yet, but I heard we're going to start on Thursday. So I don't know what to really expect, but it could be a little bit of that or none of that. I don't know.
Why did it take 12 days to do the first special session? I mean, what they ended up getting done, and I've talked to other members of the legislature, they all say this should have gotten done in a couple of 3 days. It took 12 days.
Right. I tell you, there's a clear difference in my mind between this governor and the past governor that I've worked with, and that's Sandoval. When we went to a special session, I believe I had about four or five special sessions with Sandoval. Most of the time, it was very, very focused on what was going to happen during the special session, the language that came in the bills. Were very specific. We didn't have to mess around with them too much. Obviously, as legislators, we still want to be able to look at language, negotiate where we need to or feel comfortable with it. But it didn't take much tweaking, and we were done within 2 days. That was usually the standard. This, we came in. There was a couple bills. There's one bill, just to give you an idea, that one bill, which was Assembly Bill 2, which the governor complained about, which JARA, the superintendent, complained about, which everybody kept passing the buck on who's responsible for it. It never went anywhere. That never happened to me in a special session where there was a bill on the governor's agenda that eventually went nowhere. It didn't even get out of the Committee of the Whole, which was in the Assembly. Never even moved past that for consideration. It was on the governor's agenda. I know a lot of people are placing blame on Jara, but again, if a session is lasting 12 days, that's not Jara's fault. There's somebody who's not getting things right. It's not organized. It's not ready. It's not ready for the final product to come out really quick. And I don't hold a lot of hope out that we get anything better in the next session.
Again, Scott Hammond joining us, State Senator, Nevada, District 18. And do you have a feel for what the topic material? I know that there was a bunch of stuff that he had said at the very beginning of the first session, and most of it they did not get to. But Dieter, racial justice, things like that. Do you have any feel for what the subject matter will be about?
Yeah, we actually we believe there's about six or seven. I mean, it seems like a lot of things. So most of it policy. And quite frankly, for those of you listening, this is the kind of stuff that it does take a long time to get through. When you talk about policy, you want to make sure you get everybody at the table that has something to say about it so you get it right. And we're talking about criminal justice reform, which is your social justice. We're talking about Dieter. We're talking about there's also a bill, I believe, an energy bill that NV Energy is says that they're asking the governor to put on there. I believe we're talking about a bill dealing with mortgage renters. There's going to be a couple other ones as well. So there's going to be a lot of things in this particular session. A lot of it is policy, and typically you want to make sure everybody has a chance to come in and talk about it. And I don't think that's going to happen because, again, this building will be shut down to the public because of their concern for safety, not only for legislators but for the staff that's in there. And so we're not going to have people coming in at the table and talking. Now, it'll be done over the phone or maybe not. It may just be that people call in and get 2 minutes, which I don't look forward to doing because I don't think that that's doing justice to a piece of policy that has lasting implications.
Again, Scott Hammond joining us. And Scott, what about mail-in vote? I keep hearing that the governor and the Democrats want to they want more of this mail-in vote thing and close down the polling places.
Yeah, that's also on there as well. I forgot about that. Election reform. And this has got to stop. We've got to stop talking about just doing it over the mail. And I know a lot of people are upset about this, rightfully so. The Secretary of State, Barbara Sagatsky, she came on one of my town halls. She announced that she was planning on doing it in person. A lot of people have talked about doing it in person. There's no reason that we have to go to an all-mail-in ballot. And again, when they do that, I'm also concerned that they're going to be starting to talk about ballot harvesting, people going out and collecting these ballots from people and bringing them down to the electorate. There's all kinds of stuff that they're talking about doing that I don't think is necessary. If we're able to go to the store and pack the stores and go in there and buy things, then we should be able to go in and vote. Spread it out, whatever it might take, but we should be opening up ballot places. So I'm very concerned about the language, and I won't know much until I see the language. But I don't even think we should be addressing this. I think that Barbara Sagatsky has got a handle on it, and I don't think we need anything more.
I want to ask you about trust, because I've talked with a number of people on air, off air, and one of the common threads that I'm getting from conversations with members of the legislature, people who cover the legislature, that there is a lack of trust in Carson City, and that essentially they're having to walk stuff back. Nobody trusts them when it comes to Dieter. Now we're finding out there may be massive fraud with Dieter. Can you talk a little bit about the trust issue that is developing in Carson City, and how does the governor fix it? I don't know how he fixes it.
Right. Well, sure. I'll give you a quick story. So before we left, we were handed two proposed bills. For this criminal justice reform. One bill I would imagine is going to be introduced in the Senate, and the other one in the Assembly. As we went through, and I'm on the Judiciary Committee, so we dealt with a lot of this stuff. So a couple of us, both in the Assembly and Senate, sat down and we went through the bills, and we thought, well, this is not good, and this part is not good, or that part's not good. But then we were assured that that part would be taken out. Whole sections of bills were going to be taken out that were, in our minds, again, these are Republican colleagues of mine, they were egregious, something that we want to get to. And so we were told that that wasn't going to happen. Now, we're told that they might be put back in, the Attorney General Ford and someone with Steve Yeager are negotiating. And so for a week, we told people if those sections were taken out, there really wasn't anything egregious in the bills, and that, you know, we might be able to have some support for it. But again, to your point, if they are putting them back in after a week of being told they weren't, then how, you know, what is the final product and what can we be comfortable with? I don't get any comfort level dealing with folks who keep telling us one thing and then doing another. You know, I was told that they weren't going to bring a tax bill in the middle of the session, a tax bill, by the way, that was not very well conceived and had a lot of flaws, and we really couldn't go into it. A tax bill that even Steve Sisolak said it was probably best to wait for February to talk about these kinds of things, and yet they, one minute they said they weren't going to bring it, and then the next minute they brought it. So, yeah, I think there's a level of trust that we're dealing with that we just – we're not sure if we we really want to go down a road with some of these folks if they're not going to be honest with us. So that's kind of where it is. I don't know if the governor can fix it. I certainly don't think he can fix it by just hanging out in his office and not coming to the ledge building and talking with legislators. It's, you know, when you cut off communication, that's going to be hard to be a leader.
I want to ask you about the Democrat leadership and the conflict of interest, if you will. I mean, you've got people that are dealing with a funding of public entities that they're employees of, and I know that there's litigation and all of that. This doesn't just have the appearance of impropriety; it's impropriety, is it not?
Look, Kevin, I know what you're asking a little bit about what happened during this last special session when there was definitely an agenda. It was sort of a pay to play, I think, as some people pointed out, where you had the state employees union giving thousands of dollars to Democrats right before the session began, and several of these legislators are public employees, and then they turned around and made sure that on their priorities list, when we found and we recalculated some of these funding sources and we discovered more money, there were priorities. And it was a clear distinction between what Republicans were saying were our priorities and what the Democrats were saying were their priorities. You know, we had a list of where we would put money back, you know, Health and Human Services, where we could draw down federal dollars and put more money into our economy, making sure that our providers stayed here. I mean, that was a priority, making sure more money went into Read by Three and other education priorities. The Democrats, they wanted to put more money to make sure that state employees did not have to take a furlough day. Now, I love our state employees, and I think they work hard, but sometimes you have to prioritize, and for me, that wasn't the priority. But when you have a potential conflict of interest, and they're talking about making sure they take care of their own there, I think that, I could see why people would be upset with that. And that wasn't our priority. And I wanted to make sure that people understood that. I'm very clear right now that would not have been our priority had we been able to dictate what to do with that money.
More coming up with State Senator Scott Hammond from Nevada District 18. And we're going to talk about something that is near and dear to his heart, and it's called education. The schools are going to reopen sort of with what I call the oxymoron of the century. It is the whole notion of distance learning, assuming that the kids are actually learning. The problem is they may not be. We'll talk about that more coming up. I'm Kevin Wall. So good to have you with us on AM 670 KMZQ.
He's tearing off America's politically correct blindfold. America First with Sebastian Gorka. Weekdays from noon to 3 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
When you need legal expertise, you got a lot of options. Heck, just spend a few minutes watching local TV, you'll see plenty of legal help. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Look, no one ever wants to need an attorney. But when you do, it's important to hire one who knows the law. But more importantly, you need an attorney who shares your conservative values. That's why my small business, Battleborn Radio, trusts Craig Mueller to handle all our legal needs. Craig was born and raised here in Las Vegas, and he's our legal expert on Live and Local Now. Craig's been defending the Constitution for more than 3 decades, protecting your rights. And if you're hurt, in a car accident, or on the job, Craig Mueller will get you the money you deserve. I trust Craig Mueller with my small business. You can too. Call Craig at 702-887-1731. That's 702-887-1731. 887-1731, or visit Craig online at CraigMuellerLawyer.com. That's CraigMuellerLawyer.com.
Hit the open roads ahead with a $17.95 basic oil change from Meineke. Fix now and pay over time with our available financing options. Meineke, doing car care right. Financing offer subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
Laborers Union Local 872 is committed to ensuring the safety and health of their workforce. Here are five recommendations to keep you and everyone safe on the job site. Perform a self-assessment before arriving on the job site. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Keep your distance. Adhering to the regulations and limit large group interactions. Laborers Union Local 872. Vegas strong, union proud.
This is the Long-Term Care Minute. With over 291 million annuities in force in the U.S., life insurance companies are alarmed as baby boomers are converting their annuities into annuities with long-term care in record numbers. The U.S. government estimates that 70% of people age 65 will require long-term care during their lifetime, with a total cost of over $138,000. So what should you do to prepare? For some advice, we called on long-term care expert and advisor Scott Lehigh. So, Scott, what should our listeners do?
Well, quite simply, we recommend people get a free copy of my book, Tax-Free Money for Long-Term Care, where they will learn about a little-known law that allows them to convert their existing annuity into tax-free money to pay for long-term care. Give me a call right now. The next 30 listeners will receive a free copy of my book.
To get a free copy of Scott's book, call 888-716-6066. That's 888-716-6066.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher, I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor of Nevada. As the owner of Las Vegas Psychery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. During the COVID-19 business shutdown, the Department of Homeland Security has categorized bicycle shops as essential businesses. We've been servicing a lot of bikes to help people get their two-wheeled transportation up and running. Many people who are losing their jobs are now using their bicycles for transportation. They don't have money for their car or their insurance, so they'll use a bike to get around. Our community is also using them as a way to get outdoors, stay in shape, and enjoy the fresh air. If you need help dusting off the cobwebs and getting on your bike, we're here to service you curbside from 9 to 5 daily. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215, as well as the Bonneville Transit Center downtown Las Vegas. Our phone number is 702-596-2953.
Headlines that affect you.
But as we address the how, we also have to know that we're addressing the why, and I think that's going to be critical in order for us to turn the page.
AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right. You're listening to Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
So good to have you with us. Kevin Wall with you. Scott Hammond alongside State Senator, Nevada District 18. And as you know, the Clark County School District, the fifth largest school district in the country, has decided to reopen its schools in August, August 24th, but with what is called distance learning, which to me is an oxymoron because we know that a third of the students in the Clark County School District in March and April and May, they didn't learn a thing. They didn't even open their, they didn't even log into their Chromebook. And Scott, let me ask you: do you think that distance learning can work? And how do we get even the teachers on board, where the teachers don't know how to do this?
Okay, well, I'll be real brief with that question. But before I go into that, during the break, I was giving some thought to that last question you posed. About what happened in the budget. But, I want to tell the folks listening right now, we're going to go into a second special session, and in that special session, we're going to be looking at criminal justice reform. And my concern is that, just like you said before, we have folks that are in the legislature who are public employees. And, you see that a lot right now with there's two people in particular in the Assembly who have a lot of power, Judiciary Chair and the Speaker himself, Frierson, who are both public defenders in the public defender's office, and they're going to be talking a lot about issues that will give their department an edge in what they're doing. It used to be that two sides would sit across from each other and they would negotiate and figure out the best way forward. That's the kind of stuff that we're looking for, and that's the kind of stuff that we're looking at going forward. It sort of flies in the face of the Constitution when it talks a little bit about public employees and being in the legislature, and they don't remove themselves, and they impose themselves there. Now, having said that, I'm going to talk a little bit about other public employees, and that are the teachers. You know, the teachers, several teachers I know do want to teach. They want to be in the classroom. They want to have kids in front of them, and several don't want to. And you hear the teachers' unions really voicing their opinions and their demands in other states. It hasn't happened here. You do hear some of it. You hear some of the teachers that email me telling me that they don't want to go in the classroom unless they have a safe environment. But the reality is, if we go back to what we did before, if we go back to what we had this past fourth quarter, this spring, I don't think that that's adequate. Have the teachers learned a little bit over the summer? Yeah, a little bit. I don't know if there was a real concerted effort in making sure they knew how to teach online. And quite frankly, not everybody learns well online. There are some who do and some who don't. I personally am under the impression that if we're not going to go back to the classroom, that parents need to have more of a say, that the money needs to follow the kids, and the kids and the parents are going to make better decisions on what to do going forward. And if we're not going to have a public education system that caters to children, then I think that the money needs to go to the parents. That's the bottom line, because they're going to make better choices, and they're going to move forward and make sure their kids learn.
But am I right? The Democrats in the legislature have done nothing. They've given you no indication at all that they're willing to allow parents to claw back some of the money that they send to Carson City.
Oh no!
And they're not about to allow the money to follow the kid. And we saw that with ESAs.
Absolutely, no. There's a concerted effort to allow that to happen. I mean, you even see that. The fear is out there among the teachers' unions. They do not want to have parents with power to make those kinds of decisions. They want to get rid of charter schools. That, you know, and you see the success rate from charter schools. There are some great charter schools, and yes, there are some bad ones as well. But it's the great ones that are doing important work out there, and parents love to go to them. They want to get rid of vouchers. They want to get rid of anything that allows parents' choice. But in fact, if you allow the money to follow the kids, that's where you're going to get more success, because the kids are going to go where they want to go. How they, you know, they're going to get the education delivered to them the best way that they like to receive that education. So, you know, yeah, there's going to be a concerted effort now and going forward to try and break up that particular movement because they see power in that. They see power to the, in parents when they have those choices that they can make. And the unions are just not going to allow that.
I saw Alexandra Appleton's column, her piece in the RJ today, where she writes about micro schools, which sounds like homeschooling. I'm just not sure how it's different than homeschooling. You've been a part of this whole education movement in our state for a long, long time. Can you talk about what micro schooling is and how it's different than homeschooling?
Well, it just has a lot more options that you can use. Micro schooling could be a teacher who says, "Look, I'm going to teach a group of kids. We can have two or three teachers and move them around in a very similar to what you have in a regular classroom. It's just it's sort of a, well, as some people describe it, it could be like the old one-room school, the one-room
schoolhouse,
that people used to have. But it just kind of puts power in the hands of teachers who want to teach and students who want that sort of flexibility. So it can be like homeschooling. It could be a few families that get together. There's a tremendous group, Nevada Action for School Options, that are doing a lot of work in this field right now. They're a wonderful organization, and they can be reached. I tell you, they do a lot of work on micro schooling. They're trying to bring a lot of that here to the Valley, and you can get them, I believe, 702-202-3573. You can get a hold of them there, and they'll talk to you a lot about microschooling and what options you have as parents.
Let me just ask you, though, because what I've heard from educators, I've heard it from parents, that kids actually fell behind. They actually fell behind. Mm-hmm. How much further behind can our kids get?
Well, we can't fly anymore, and we really won't know where the kids, how far behind some of the students fell until we see them this fall. You got to, you know, give them a test at the beginning of the year, kind of judge where they should be. We have standards, and of course, if you give them a test and then find out,